God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
What I want to share this morning is just the title of our sermon today is YOLO, Overcome. Hang on, so you there? Who of you know what YOLO means? Ah, come on, you're not supposed to shout it out. So up until yesterday, I thought YOLO is a person, okay? And YOLO means you only live once. Okay, now that's a motto to live by or not. It depends what comes after what you see after YOLO, what the decisions is based on that slogan. But anyway, and what I just feel that God is laying on our hearts this morning is the power that is in our testimony, and power that is in our testimonies. And there's a sense of overcoming, and when we are testifying about who God is and about just what God has done in our lives. And like, we reached out on campus for probably about 2 weeks at UJ mostly, and a little bit at Wits, just making awareness of yesterday and even today. And since Wednesday, God just came. He just came and he shifted my expectations a little bit, because I went into that putting my faith out for like 100 students, because the students were very approachable while we were on campus, etc., etc. And Wednesday, God just came and he just shifted my expectations in that. Yesterday we were around about 15 to 20 students and so on. And you can look at that and expect 100 and look at 20 students and you can be discouraged by that. But what was amazing for me yesterday is that I just realized that if we don't stop and celebrate the 20 that is there, God's not going to send us 100, because we're not going to celebrate them, because once 100 comes, we're already looking to the next goalpost. And that is just something that God added to just come and shift in my heart. And therefore, the guys that are here, I'm really excited about you guys being here and where God wants to take us and the purposes that God has called us all also together and so on. And for the rest of you, young working, old working, if you have a heart for the students, then give me a heads up. And I know our time is limited. You can't always get to campus, those sort of things. But even if you have a heart for students, but you only have capacity, let's say, for a camp or doing a relationship series on campus or anything like that, then let me know. If you have a heart for that, then we make a plan and see what your capacity is to minister on campus, etc. It's not only on campus that we'll minister at schools and so on, but I know most of you work. And that is a little bit of a challenge. Okay, that's my sales pitch there for getting involved in the students. But I want to really just honor the students that is here and celebrate you guys. And yes. Okay, let's read with me. John 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. And what I want to ask you this morning is how alive is Jesus in you this morning? How alive is he in you? And a little bit of a rhetorical question, but it's something to ponder on. And I want to say, how alive is your testimony? It stems from how alive Jesus is in you. Yes, our salvation testimony about when we came to salvation, when God has brought us out of darkness into light, when we were born again. And that is one of the most significant testimonies can you have. Whether you were a drug dealer or whether you were in church your whole life and you came to salvation somewhere along the line, everybody's testimony is significant, because we come into a relationship with Jesus there. The other question I also want to ask is, how recent is your, what is your most recent testimony? Are you still living off of your salvation testimony of 10 years ago, or is there a daily encountering of Jesus in our lives? Read with me Luke 9, verse 23. So then he said to them all, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. And something that just struck me out from this verse is a lot of times, I think the one in Matthew actually doesn't use that word daily, and then in Luke he does actually use the daily word in that same context, the verse. And what just struck me out of this one is that a lot of the times we live for events for God, meaning that we're going on mission, so I am going to pick up my cross and follow him and share my testimony and preach, etc. But a lot of the times, come Monday morning, I'm not as open to be used by God as I am as when I'm going on missions. And you're not necessarily going to have all the opportunities that you would have when you're going on missions, or when you're doing Encounter One, or that when you're reaching out on campus, etc. But there's a place where we need to come to, where we daily saying, okay, Lord, whatever you say today, I will follow you. And there's legal terms. These next two verses start with for this and for that. And the reason it says that is because it hinges on this scripture here, where it said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And as we read these next two verses, or three verses, verse 24 to 26, it's almost like legal terms where, you know, I've asked a couple of people here that also studied in that same direction of legal, where the terms in Afrikaans, in text, it says, it makes a statement, and then it does some sort of an explanatory note. In Afrikaans, it says, met dien verstande dat, meaning that, yeah. So, translated, it sounds a little bit, I'm not sure what exactly the book would say, but basically it means that with the understanding that, okay, so it sort of explains what this statement here at the top means. And then further it says, met dien verstande voort. And then it basically means it's with the understanding further. That doesn't sound right. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. So these next three verses hinges on the fact that we're taking up our cross daily and following him. So let's read together from verse 24. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And he says again, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Just hang on there for a moment. It says there that we come into the kingdom and we have a desire to, we have a revelation of Jesus. And this whole scripture is just after where Peter actually had the revelation of that Jesus is the Christ. And when we have a revelation of who Jesus is, we're confronted with a decision: are we going to follow him or not? We're not going to follow Jesus if we don't actually have seen him before. Okay, that's obvious. Okay, but now we come to the realization that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And now Jesus turns around and he says, if you want to follow me, if you want to save your life, you have to lose it. Meaning you have to lay down our lives. And that is a daily thing that we need to do. For if we go into this week and we say, okay, God, this area, you can have, we don't do that explicitly. But a lot of times what I've come across, quite often in this last couple of, well, not the last couple of months, but I've come across it often, where we compartmentalize, okay, God in a sense. Okay, we box him in unknowingly, sometimes when we limit him to seasons of our lives. Okay, we use these terms often, and I'm not saying that it is necessarily a bad thing, but a lot of times, I speak to somebody and they can't go to something which I really feel God is calling them to. For example, like Encounter One. Come to Encounter One, it's going to change your life. Yeah, it's just the season where I'm in now is not really allowing me to do that. I'm like, okay, there's room for that. I'm not discarding that. But the different seasons that I often come across is very much linked to our natural seasons, in the sense of, I am studying now, therefore I have to focus on my studies. and therefore I cannot go on missions, or I cannot serve in church, or I cannot go to small group. And like I said, that there is a place for that. First year when I was in Johannesburg, I started working. I did my articles. I did honors the same year. At three evenings a week, I had class. So for me to then still also be at small group in that year would have killed me. Yeah, so there is room for those kind of seasons. I'm not saying that there isn't. But a lot of the times we use seasons as excuses not to actually do what God has called us to do. And that is what I want to encourage us to do, is do not fall back on the seasons that we are in, but fall back on what God is saying to you. Okay. All right, you get what I'm saying. Okay. Other seasons that I also come across is, I just got married, for the newlyweds amongst us. I just got married, therefore I need to settle in first and so on. And there's room for that, and there's definitely grace for that. And other one that I also hear often is, and that's very much where a lot of us are at the moment, is I've just had a baby, we've just had a kid, therefore I really have to focus on my family now. And there is definitely that is important to focus on our families first, in the sense of before church priorities in that sense. But I want to reverse that a little bit and say it does not come before what God says. And if God says do something, then you do it, whether it's in church, whether it's outside of church, whether it's work or whatever. So the point I'm wanting to bring across is that hear from God what is it that He is calling you to do, and then do it faithfully. Don't do something because I'm pitching a sales pitch for something, or etc. I really want to encourage you to hear from God what is it that God is calling us to do. And then verse 26. For whoever is ashamed, there's that four again, mit den Verstandedat. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his father's and in the holy angels. Yes. Yeah. So what I just want to bring across here is a lot of the times we, even when we share our testimonies, we hold before people the life and life and abundance part, and the joy and the love and the grace and forgiveness and stuff. But we do not share with people the taking up our cross daily and following Him. And that is a very important. There's the element of counting the cost that we have to bring in. Because Jesus said that in this world, we will have trouble. And let's read this next scripture. So take heart. I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And there's a little bit of a contrast here where Jesus says, in me you will have peace. In the world you will have trouble. And at the moment we are in both. But he says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Okay? So if you're not in Jesus, if you're not in Christ, you just have trouble. Okay, and thanks. There's one or two that I got there. Thanks, Neil. So just what I want to share is that when we share with other people that our testimonies, and we really have a desire for them to connect with God. Sometimes our desire for them to actually make a decision for Jesus overrides the fact that we need to give them the whole picture. And I'm guilty of that a lot of times. We share the good stories, but we don't necessarily share the bad stories. And the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. You will have trials and tribulations, etc. You will even be persecuted in some countries. In this country, we actually, surprise, surprise, we actually do also get persecuted. We just actually don't get persecuted physically. And here in South Africa, it's a lot more words, abusive, human rights sort of thing based. And it's, you know, the whole thing about human rights is that if we take up our cross and we follow Jesus, then we are actually laying down our rights. And we are conforming to what Jesus is actually saying, Jesus is actually telling us. Yeah. So, this is somebody specific that in terms of that I felt, and specifically a lady that I felt this morning is that you really struggle a little with like panic attacks, where your heart, like heart palpitations, and just, you just get very anxious and it almost feels like, you're gonna die right now sort of thing. And afterwards we're going to minister and we're gonna worship again a little bit. And I wanna encourage you just God is, our peace is found in Him. Okay? And yes, it's difficult. But the whole thing about is God is calling us to overcome. And God is calling us to speak life. The theme of awaken is also is speak freedom. And there's something that releases when we speak, when it's in our voice, when we speak life, and when we celebrate even the smallest of things that God is doing in our lives. And even when you're anxious, even when you're having a panic attack, then I want to encourage you, be bold and stand up and start giving praise to God for even the smallest thing that you can think of. The fact that you are still breathing, the fact that, yes, Jesus, I'm not going to die right now. And this is something that I'd actually like us to see how what we can do as well. Is to have like a, between 5 seconds and 30 seconds, like a testimony where you record. And you send it through to us. And we make like a whole recording of just testimonies of thanksgiving. Or for example, the guys at Liberty would relate to this, is I struggled with fear of man, but God helped me overcome. I mean, that's like 5 seconds. That's all. And if we put a series of 100 of those things together, if you start listening to those things, it is just, it blows your mind almost. Just the testimonies that comes forth. And start thinking about those things that God has already helped you to overcome. And I believe that this morning specifically, there's quite a fear of man that God just wants to come and just release us from this morning. And it doesn't, yes, there's an element where God is going to come and do that supernaturally, but there's actually a place where we're actually going to have to step up to the plate and say, okay, up until this point, I've allowed the fear of man to withhold me from actually doing what God has asked me to do, or told me to do, and therefore I will have none of that anymore. God actually gives us the authority to overcome fear. Okay. Hebrews 12 verse 1 to 3 says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Another translation says the author and the finisher of our faith. The preceding part of that says, just since we therefore are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles. And then he says this, and let us run the race with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And a lot of us don't experience any persecution, and I want to actually put it out there, and I'm putting myself also out there, is that a lot of times we do not experience persecution because we're not stepping out of the boat, because we are not actually active in sharing our faith with other people, and active and just sharing a testimony. Now, there is a place where you not go like a cowboy and you go left, right, and center and annoy everybody and that sort of thing. But there is a place where we are obedient to God, and God said that go into all the world, go into all the nations, go into every work where you are at. Pray for the people at your work. Pray for the people that you interact with every day. We cannot just live for Tuesday Bible school, Wednesday evening, small group, Thursday evening intercession, once a month outreach on a Saturday and Sunday church. We cannot live like that. We're spending like 8 hours a day at our work, at least, for those that don't do overtime. And we interact with those people a lot, and people see you, if you know that by now or not. People see you, and they see your conduct, and they're already curious about why you are not doing certain things. Why are you not saying certain things? For example, and this might convict a couple of you, is when I was doing articles, we were auditing around a boardroom table, and in the same, on my team was a Hindu guy, a very provocative guy, and a Muslim guy, and then another girl. And the Hindu guy, he used to like deliberately ask these prompting questions. Now, I like those kind of questions because I tend to ask them back. And would we allow him to come to church? And I'm like, definitely. I don't think I'll come because maybe the place will burn down, sort of thing. But it was just part of the conversation. And I can't remember how it came, but he said that we were talking about the music on our computers, and he said that, do you want to tell me that you do not have one song on your computer that you did not buy or that you do not own? And I said, yes. And he looked at me, and the Muslim guy said, like, and that's why I want to be like Jan George. if you have illegal music on your computer, that's for you, right? Yeah, last scripture. We will overcome. In Revelation 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. And there's a whole lot of things going on in the world, and we don't know where this world is heading in general. Okay? The thing is that if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and we do what he's leading us into do, then there's victory, and we overcome based on the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. And there's a little bit of context involved in that Revelation scripture, but that the principle remains there, that it is only by the blood of Jesus that we are sanctified, by which we all can be forgiven. There's a place where we step out and we actually testify. If you want a victory in a certain area of your life, start celebrating the things that God has already done. And you will start experiencing the victory.